Hey fans, we all love some good music.
A variety of music.
What if we could bring Chriswell Studios to you 24/7?
That's a long work schedule.
Maybe, but you know, we just might have it. The best variety of music from multiple decades live on your phone 24/7 with our Gay Orlando Live online radio station.
Better known as Go Live. Download the TuneIn app and search for Go Live or go to chrisandwill.com for more info.
So, tune in!
WAOL.
Today's episode is sponsored by Climate First Bank. Isn't it time you bank as your authentic self? Welcome to Chriswell Studios' special presentation, What About Our Life? Today's special guest is Tabitha Starcher. Now please welcome the Prince Charmings of podcasting, Chris and Will.
Well, hello, Charmers. Welcome to another great episode of What About Our Life with Chris and Will.
Hi.
How are you guys? We hope you have, enjoyed your spring break, your Easter, all that time that's gone by. It's kind of great to be back and gearing up for a long year that starts next month.
Yes. Yay.
Yes. So what about our life? What an interesting topic. We were talking about this not too long ago, how different everything has been since we started this show.
It's really been a life-changing experience. I would say that I didn't think that it was going to go on for as long as it is, but I'm kind of glad that it is.
Yes, I agree. I agree. But I mean, life is in a whole, you know, since 2019, how much life has changed in such a matter of short amount of time.
Yeah.
Our formats have changed a little bit. We've done some programming that's been additional to what we normally wouldn't do, like media events. We've been covering a lot of media events, traveling locations. Now we have several different shows and different experiences. And, you know, life, I guess it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it. We appreciate it. We're grateful. We're thankful. But boy, I tell you, it's a lot of work to catch up with life in general.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, it's definitely a beast out there, I guess.
But the fact that we're doing it, that says volumes.
It does. It does. It's just, I took a long trip down memory lane and listened to all the great stories that we've had. And we still have so many more stories to tell and, all the different things that we've done. And we've accomplished so much in just a short amount of time. And here we are 25 years later.
It doesn't seem that way.
And speaking of that, we are currently about to start kicking off our 25th anniversary celebration, which consists of all kinds of different media events, all new shows and all new appearances and more traveling,
Yeah. More
podcast shows, and so much more. And then at the end of the year, we are going to count down the top 25 moments of our year. And who knows, we might talk about some of the 25 greatest moments of our 25 years at some point, so it'll be interesting. And we just recently announced our first appearance on the tour block, which would be the Runway to Hope Soiree.
Yeah.
In Orlando on May 4th. Let me tell you, this is a very, would you call it prestigious event? A very great charity organization.
Yes.
They raise money for families who have children that are dealing with pediatric cancer. And so Willie and I are going to be celebrity escorts, standing alongside several different Central Florida celebrities as well as Hollywood celebrities.
Yes.
And we're going to help them raise money for families in need that, again, that are dealing with kids with pediatric cancer. And we will be escorting a cancer patient or child, I would say.
Yes.
Down the runway, let them strut themselves and just make it all about them.
Yeah.
They got to go to Bloomingdale's, and Bloomingdale's let them pick out their outfits that they're going to wear. And, it's going to be a lot of fun. This fundraiser raises millions of dollars every single year. And we are so grateful and thankful to be a part of it.
So grateful.
Yes. Very, very excited. And so that is May 4th. And of course, we're going to have some details on it. We're going to have some footage of it. And we're going to be showcasing that out in our A Moment of Their Life series that you'll be able to find on the Chris Will Network. And so that's going to happen very soon. It's only a couple of weeks away. We just got done with Pride Prom in Orlando. And our team got to experience that for the second time in a row, second year, actually. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we've had a few moments already this year that have been quite exciting, covering the Oscars. That was exciting. The Smithsonian posting, and of course. and so we still got so much more. We have several Pride events all across the country that we're going to be appearing in and attending to, which includes One Magical Weekend in Orlando. If you haven't gotten your tickets, go to onemagicalweekend.com to purchase your tickets. We're going to be there for a whole 72-hour broadcast.
Yeah.
Broadcast. Yeah. I think the only ones that are going to get sleep is going to be Sammy. That's the only one's going to get sleep. We enjoy it. This will be the third year in a row that we will be returning to One Magical Weekend. So we are very excited about that. And we'll have some special guests with us at our booth that, of course, you're going to want to meet and enjoy. And then, let's see, we have Salem Pride that we're going to be attending to later in June, as well as the Baton Rouge Pride Festival with our grand friend Taylor Dane.
Yay!
And we finally get to meet our favorite drag queen of all time, Eureka.
Yes!
So we will be broadcasting with that, and we have other Pride events that are possibly going to be planned. Come out with Pride again in October. So we're excited about that. And then we have a lot of traveling locations that we're going to be attending to in June as well as over the summer. And one of them is going to be, we're going to be covering Massachusetts. Mm. That is a very hard word to say.
Massachusetts?
Yes, very hard word to say. If you have an accent, it is a very complex word. It really is. Can you think of any other state in this country that is harder to say than that one? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that one is the most complicated. Yeah. And you know what? What's going to be interesting is you guys are all listening to this, and I promise you, you are all reading back the word Massachusetts because you're thinking about whether or not that word is actually hard to say. And some of you can say, oh, it's not that hard, but try it with an accent. So do it your normal way. And then pick an accent and see if it works out the same way. Because for me, it's kind of, I don't really have a Louisiana accent or a Southern accent, but I kind of do with certain words. And that is like a tongue twister for me. It's really like a stumbling little, you know, it's a stumbling word. Mm-hmm. It really is. So anyway, so You know, no, there is no other country, no state that, no, they're all, because Pennsylvania is just a long word too.
Yeah.
But Pennsylvania is easy to say.
Yeah.
That Massachusetts is not. So we're going to be up north for that.
Yes.
We're going to go out west for a little bit, and so much plan. So much plan. You'll want to find out all that information on chrisandwill.com. And we just released our first new show called Got
Their Pride.
Got Their Pride. That's right. We just released it. It's going to feature all the different Pride events that we've attended and are attending. And it's going to show you all the inside looks, feels, emotions, and conversations of those particular Pride events. So, like, for example, the first episode is about One Magical Weekend of 2023. So if you've ever wondered what it was like to go to One Magical Weekend in Orlando, here's your chance to see it. Viewer discretion advised, of course. But yes, so you can see that by going to our website at chrisandwill.com. Go to the Chris Will Network, and the episode is there. It is also on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
We try not to post a lot on YouTube because I'm not really a big fan of YouTube. Eventually, I guess we will be. But you can watch all of the Chris Will Network shows via your TV by the use of your electronic devices, which includes your iPhone.
Yeah.
Because you can AirPlay it.
Yes.
And if you don't know how to do that, we are going to put it on our website to show you how to do that and tell you how to do that. So then that way you don't have to go to all of these different sites and all these different apps. You can just go to one location to get all of our programming via your TV and your phone.
Yeah.
But if you just want to watch it on your phone, or if you just want to watch it on your tablet or your laptop, all you got to do is go to chrisandwill.com to the Chris Will Network. And the library there has our full season of all three seasons of the adventure series. And it has a Moment of Their Life series and now Got Their Pride series. And we will be introducing two more series coming up. We'll tell you about that later on.
Yay.
And then, of course, we do put all kinds of social life on our social media pages, TikTok, Instagram, and, of course, Facebook. Shows you all the different things around town, snippets of what we do.
Really interesting stuff.
Yes, of course. So you can get all that information on that, too. You can click on those social media sites if you haven't done that already. But that's my point. Everything has changed over the course of the years.
But I like how we're...
got a lot going on.
Yes, yes.
And we do a lot. And yeah, yes, it's just, you know, it's been a difficult little journey because we're not able to record as often as we used to. I think this year that will kind of change a little bit. We got a lot more guests that are on our lineup of schedules for interviews. Plus, we have some interviews that we're ready to release that hasn't yet. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes we aren't able to release them when we'd like to because we have to wait for approvals and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it's been quite interesting.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. It's interesting enough that we're being quoted as not only the Prince Charmings of podcasting, but somebody would describe us as travel personalities.
Yes.
radio hosts. Of course, I like that one. Or radio personalities. That was another good one that came up. So yeah, we got so many different titles of so many different things that we do. And we're going to just keep growing, keep going up to that ladder.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing. I was listening to something the other not too long ago, and it was interesting because they had said the same thing that we do, but I don't know that we follow it to the T. But when so many people are out there doing almost the same thing that you're doing, you kind of are ready to say, okay, we're ready to go to the next level,
mm-hmm.
climb that next step, go to the next part of the ladder. So I think I've always pushed for our brand to be 10 steps ahead.
But I don't see it as, I mean, yes, in truth, yes, but we're doing our authentic selves. So it's just going to happen.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, that's a good thing because our brand keeps growing and I don't compete against nobody. And, you know, that's interesting because a lot of people are like, oh, but you have a podcast. You're competing against other podcasts. And it's like, no, I am not competing against anybody's podcast because I'm not listening to anybody's podcast. And if I am, it's snippets here and there. And if I do listen to one full show, then I am not sitting there taking notes.
Right.
I am just listening to it. Every show, I think, is like everybody's talent. It's all different. Every person is different. So our brand is going to always stand out from the group of people because we are not going to do that. We will do the same thing, but we will do it our way.
Yeah.
That's what separates us from everyone else. I think that that's a really good thing because we were talking about that a little bit ago is the differences between stereotypical. Yeah. And the ones that are not. I believe, this is my belief, I believe that stereotypical is people that are asking for a certain life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas people that are not stereotypical, they are not asking for what they've got in their life or what has happened in their life. They've just been living their life.
Yeah.
So not that anybody's hardships are any less or more important. The bottom line of it is what makes us different and puts us aside from everyone else is the fact that we don't follow the same stereotypical program or the traditional programming. We follow what we want to do. And sometimes it's by the spur of the moment, I guess. You know, so I guess if I was, my point is, I guess that's what we've grown from since 2019.
Wow.
And maybe that's what we've grown from since we started Hollywood back in 2001.
Yes.
And when people, we got that question not too long ago is how do you interact with a lot of these people? When did you get into this? And it's like, well, we've been in it for almost as long as we've been in the relationship, yes, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a different thing. And I'm not going to go full into those stories because I know in this podcast, we've shared a lot of our stories.
Yeah.
But we never really went fully into those stories and those conversations where we will be coming soon. Because
I think it comes when it comes and you do it. And when you do what you do, you kind of impress your own self.
Well, you do. I mean, when people ask you to tell your story and then you finally tell the story, you can sit there for hours and go through everything that you think that they want to hear. And then there's still more that you didn't cover,
right,
and you still want to cover.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we're getting to that point to where our story is going to be more evolving. And what makes us special is always a big question that comes in. And it's like, you know what? Nothing. Maybe if you want to get anything out of us, it's the fact that we took ourselves through this journey. We survived ourselves through this journey. We have a story to tell, and it's interesting.
It's not redundant.
Yes. So the question comes in is the question I always have. Why do you watch soap operas? Well, some people like watching the drama out of soap operas. Well, that's no different than actually listening or watching somebody tell their story of their life, except it's a soap opera, but it's actually reality compared to how reality shows like to make you think that they are reality shows when they're not. So I think for us is our purpose is everybody liked our stories. So we started telling our stories.
And
so,
we didn't do it to say that this is our story and in your face. We're saying it because that's how and when and what is happening.
Well, we also didn't do it for numbers.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that too, because when we started, this whole social media craze was just kind of getting started in a sense. And, you know, now since people have figured out that, oh, well, if I get this amount of likes or subscriptions, then I can make some money and I don't have to go get a job from here or this. And so now there is a ton of content out there that makes absolutely no sense. It's so fake and it's so stupid that people are literally just doing it for the numbers. So I think that that's where it, you lose your audiences because you're, some people are doing it just because they want to make money and that to be their job. Whereas others like ourselves are doing it because we enjoy doing it. We get respected for doing it. And you know, we're not looking at numbers. If we get them, we don't. The biggest conversation that I always run into in business meetings, but your social media is not really big. And it's like, that's because we just started it. And two, we didn't have an interest in doing anything of it.
Yeah, yeah.
We worked hard with doing this show and we worked hard during COVID, and COVID treated us really well with this show. We work hard even now, what we're doing and traveling, and let's, you know, let's realize a little bit, you guys, if you didn't know already, when we go on these trips and these traveling trips to all these different cities and all these different states, we're driving to these locations. Uh-huh. We are driving. So we're not getting on a plane and going. And there is a reason for that. That reason is because of Sammy.
Yes.
Because of Sammy's age, I don't want to leave him with somebody. He relies on us very much, and I don't want to come back to a dog no more, if that's the word. So we put him in the car, and we will drive the thousands of miles, so that way I don't have to put him in a crate in a plane. I can't. He's too big to put in underneath the seat and on our laps. So that's why we do that. And we turned it into a journey. It is a long drive. Trust me, it is. And it's, that's still a lot of work.
But we enjoy it.
We enjoy it.
I mean, we make it, we do stuff to keep ourselves into it.
And the road trips are not new for us because we have done road trips across the country for years.
Yeah.
I mean, we've driven from Miami to Los Angeles before, and that was a crazy drive.
Yeah.
You know, the very first time that we drove across country, we literally last minute packed all of our stuff out of our apartment into a storage unit, packed up our car so tight that when we were sleeping in the back seat, we were on top of our luggage while the other one drove. And we went to California, and we always set ourselves with goals and dreams. So it's quite interesting to where we are kind of now. Everything has just been by coincidence. Our life is just by coincidence. The good, the bad, the in-between, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see how life around us has grown, gone in a direction, and how much we've grown within our own personal units. And sometimes we're a little stressed out. And, you know, we have to find our way through it and so much, but
you also take something away from that too.
Well, everything's a learning thing for me. Everything happens for a reason, I believe. And I think that everything's a learning lesson, you know, even whether we like it or we don't like it. Cause you know, we're around each other 24/7. Don't ask us how we do that. I always like to say that the biggest explanation of that is alcohol, but you know, when you don't have alcohol around, how do you get through that? And it's like, you know, you just vent it out and just rage and rage and rage until that chemical's gone. I guess. I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. Yeah, I know. I saw somebody.
I
saw somebody posted something on social media, and it was talking about people that say it is what it is. Well, I didn't always say it is what it is, but I have found in the last decade, I've said it is what it is multiple times. Because you know what? Sometimes shit happens. It does. And you just got to sit there and go with it. And the best way to go with it is what it is. Cause that's a great phrase to put in your head and live with. But this guy seems to think that people that say it is what it is, they're dangerous. They are dangerous people because they're so much powerful than you because they know how to accept things in life better and faster than you. And they know how to go on with their life just by saying it is where it is what it is. Whereas those that don't use that phrase, they use the method of calm and take their time to go through life. And I'm sitting there going, now, why the hell would you want to hold on to something negative for this long period of time? And the best example that he gave, which I laughed, was it's like when you break up with somebody and the other person sits there and says, it is what it is. They've moved on from you from how many years you've been together. They don't care anymore. And I'm like, isn't that what a breakup is for? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to break up with somebody, you sure in the hell don't want them to be lingering around for much longer. I mean, why would I want to depress over it? It's sad. You get over it. It is what it is. You move on to the next one. But I mean, I guess, you know, he must have relationship problems, because if he's got to tell everybody that it is what it is too much for him, then it is what it is. It is what it is. Yes, absolutely. But being on that note, it is what it is, because right now we got to take a break. And when we come back, we got more to talk about it, because it is what it is.
Today's commentary is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Cammie, and I want to tell you about one of the most amazing places in the world, Give Kids the World Village. It's a magical place where kids with critical illnesses come from all over the world for one amazing week. They get to visit Central Florida's coolest theme parks, celebrate at nightly parties, and enjoy delicious meals. And it doesn't cost them a thing. To learn more about how this magical place works and how you can help, visit givekidstheworld.org.
Life. Life matters. Your life matters. Everything about you matters. Yes, we know at times life can be hard and hard to deal with. Dealing with it is only temporary. When you dream, we know you dream big. You dream to live and live like every day is a dream coming true. The Prince Charmings of podcasting want you to know we got you. We love you. We want you to dream. Our programming is, yes, an adventure, a moment of our life, a night out in the town, or even a question of our life. Together, we all share the same interest, the dream of equality and well-being. What you experience in our programming is experienced as we hope you'll get to experience them, because in some way, we're with you. These are safe places for us and for you. Our team only produces programming that can enrich all of us. These are places that will accept you, be there for you, and will welcome everything about you. So when watching something from Chris and Will, we guarantee that in person, you'll be safe. These are the moments of which you can not only dream, but be a part of. This is our honor to provide you with the open doors to a life in which people respect the real person that you choose to be. We got you. We love you. We do it for you. ChrisandWill.com is your home to locating, watching, feeling, listening, and experiencing all the things you'll need to live your own life. The Chris and Will Experience. This is a safe place for you. Love yourself, and the world will love you in return. How do you tell a story? There's so many ways to tell a story, but do you tell the right story?
So what do you think, Willie? This is your first time here.
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
How do you, the audience, take in the stories you hear?
We get our chef's favorite, Willie.
What is a real story?
I actually don't remember what happened that day. I know that I had a shift at Chef Mickey's at Contemporary Resort, and here's this annoying kid that came and started talking to me.
Sure.
This is a story that can change you, interrupt you, relate to you, and fit into your own story. A story that speaks to you, gives you the understanding that you're not alone. makes you feel good inside, gives you hope and direction for your dreams to come true. A story that takes you on an adventure. A story with a friendship and moments. A story that gives you a safe and welcoming place to experience. And a story that charms you.
So, we are at The Lobbyist in Memphis, Tennessee.
Our story is real. It's magical. It's believable. It's livable because we lived it. It's not just entertainment for the fame. It's for the purpose of just telling you.
Will you marry me?
We were called the Prince Charmings not for the title, but because we are the once upon a time. We are the storytellers that charm your heart and builds up your hope. This is our story. The story continues. The magic of Chris and Will, 25 years in the making. Welcome to our next chapter.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I hope that you told yourself that it is what it is, that we had to go to commercial break. We're glad that you came back. It is what it is. It is what it is. They should turn that into a song. It is what it is. Maybe we should open up a restaurant that says it is what it is. Yeah, we should. But in any sense, so the daytime Emmy Award nominations came out this week, and the Daytime Emmy Awards are coming out, are going to be in June. I want to say June 6th. Don't quote me on that. And I want to say it's going to be on ABC, I think. E! Online has the entire nomination list if you're interested. Most of them are, again, soap operas. Kelly Clarkson got a nomination. I saw that. Actually, she got a couple.
Wow.
So did The View, if you're a big fan of The View. The Talk got one. Trying to think if there's any others that comes to mind. We do not watch very much programming, so I'm glad that Kelly got a nomination. I'm kind of disappointed that Drew didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I really love, I mean, I really love how there are certain times when she's just, like, every show has a format, you know, but she goes into these little, I don't know what they're called, but maybe they're not segments, but they're stuff
she's
that
she's personal.
Happened. Yes.
She's very personal with
And you
with
can tell
she
that
does.
She's like, yeah. Everyone's watching, whoever's on set, whatever. But such and such is speaking. So, you know what? I want to listen to.
I wasn't a big fan of the show when it started.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it. It's the same thing with the Kelly Clarkson show. I like Kelly. I think that Kelly does a wonderful job. She's personal with her guests as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And, you know, going back to, we used to watch The View a lot and we don't really watch that.
Yeah.
Same thing with The Talk. I am not a big fan of The Talk right now. I think the original cast that they had with The Talk, I think was a little bit better. But, you know, so you can go check that out online and watch the Daytime Emmy Awards. We actually worked the Emmy Awards, the Primetime Emmy Awards and the Creative Emmy Awards before. And that's another whole story that we've talked about before, and we will talk about it again later on. But that was an experience.
Right?
That was an experience. That's when it was at the old Shrine Auditorium in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That is an old, old complex. And I don't even know if that building is still there. I imagine it is. It needed an upgrade.
Yes.
Definitely needed upgrade. So I don't know if they got that or not. But yeah, that was quite a bit. And we've actually held both an Oscar and an actual Emmy.
Yes.
And I will tell you the, you know, one thing that I was going to try to find out, and I just didn't get around to it, but I'm trying to figure out, I'd love to find out if the gold used in the Oscars, a different type of gold used in for the Emmy, because the Oscar is actually a little bit heavier. And as time goes on, it, you know, if it's not very well taken care of, it does kind of fade a little bit, because the Oscar that we held was not as polished. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
Not as polished. The Emmy is obviously a little bit lighter. The base of it is heavier than the actual award. But the one thing I like about the Emmy statue is the fact that it's taller.
Yes.
And it's wider.
Yes.
And it has much more of a presence to it, uh-huh. I think.
Yeah.
Than the Oscar. Right. And the Oscar, you know, without us knowing what it actually symbolizes, for a long time, a lot of people didn't know what it symbolized other than a man. And there's so much more than that. Yeah. Go to our Oscar episode. We talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to hold them. It's, you can get the energy of why people like them and want them and how inspiring they are when you receive such a prestigious award. But yeah. So we used to live next to the Academy building.
Yeah.
Which is the Emmy building.
Yeah.
So the Emmy organization was actually right next door to our apartment complex, yep, in North Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And they had at the time, I don't know if they still do, but at the time they had a large scale of the Emmy Award outside.
Yes. It was sort of like, I don't know how to describe it, but like it was like a open area with a circular miniature, yes, staircase.
And they had statues of different celebrities that have won Emmys. And
right.
A little bit of story. If you remember back in the day, if you're a Disney fan and you've been to Disney World and Disney MGM Studios, yeah, Disney Hollywood Studios, there was a little section,
right,
by the television building, which is now the Frozen Sing-Along. And it was an Academy dedication or tribute. And they had a statuette there, which was a smaller scale version. And they had head statues of different celebrities.
Right.
That is, yeah, exactly what it looked,
yeah,
like in front of the
and
actual.
You felt it.
You did.
You really did.
The only difference of it is, of course, the version that was at Disney World was much smaller.
Right. Yes.
Compared to the actual one that's in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of different things that the Disney Studios did that were very accurate.
Yeah.
Very, very accurate. Speaking of that, again, go into that accuracy. If you go back to Disney currently right now at Disney World, the Grauman's Chinese Theater replicated the Chinese Theater in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that before, where they still have handprints and everything that they put in the one at the Disney Studios.
Yeah.
They did that purposely. They actually did that purposely because they wanted to continue to replicate the one in Hollywood. So they brought in celebrities before the park opened to do handprints and so forth, so they could fill the front end of the Chinese Theater. And then at different occasions, they brought in celebrities to do handprints.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave authentic there. And if you go to Universal Studios in Orlando, the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard is actually leased by the actual Hollywood Walk of Fame in Hollywood. And Universal doesn't do presentations like they do, but they do add stars to the boulevard every now and again.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Speaking of that, this past week, Jodie Foster gave her footprints and handprints over at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. She got her own block today.
Yay.
Or this past week. It was introduced to her by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wow.
You can go online and search it. It is an interesting thing to see her put her feet into the concrete. And, you know, now she has her prints in over at the Chinese Theater, whichever it's called, ever.
TCL,
there you go. So yes, they still do that, just like they do with the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They still they still do it. So
yeah,
it's quite interesting. So a cartoon character got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh,
I'm drawing a complete blank of who it is that got one. Oh, that's who it was. Alvin and the Chipmunks. So, yes.
You know what? It's interesting because, you know, they've been around,
they
right?
They have been around.
And, I mean, I think it's interesting that when they originally started and then they did in the 80s, they had a different cartoon. And then, obviously, throughout the however long they've been around, you know, they've had different versions. And, yeah, I think that's it. Really, yeah. Really cool.
Yes. So, Alvin and the Chipmunks got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, note it. Now, if you don't know, the Hollywood Walk of Fame does have duplicates. Like Walt Disney has several.
Yeah.
I want to say Mickey Mouse does too.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure. But yeah, they have duplicates. I never figured out why. I never asked. But yeah, there is a lot there. You have to experience the actual Walk of Fame on your own.
Yeah.
At least once. So you can kind of see your favorite celebrities and see, you know, these guys were there and they're strategically placed. Like some of your musicians are over at that college, that music school that's there.
Right.
You know, and some of your horror fans are near that horror store that's down there. And then of course your bigger celebrities are closer to the Chinese theater, the Dolby Theater. The Dolby Theater and so much mm-hmm. area. So yeah. So it's definitely a place of interest to figure out. And, you know, magic with the award shows, you know, back then you would want to go and make sure you were watching TV during the award ceremony.
Yes.
That was the most important thing, especially the music awards.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Especially the music awards. Nowadays, I mean, I think for us, the only one, the Oscars, we will make time to watch the Oscars. And the Emmys, I think we will too. It just depends. Like primetime, daytime, we really don't. We have, but we really don't because we don't know much of the shows that are on there because we don't watch a lot of talk shows and we don't watch we don't watch soap operas.
Yeah.
But primetime, yes. Grammys, we've kind of, I think for the first time ever, we watched the iHeart Music Awards, recently. We're just going to leave it at that. Great show. Yeah. Okay. American Music Awards. Yes. MTV, kind of.
Yeah.
The Video Music Awards. I don't know why you call them Video Music Awards because nobody plays music videos anymore except for, the app Excite.
Yes.
But they need to change their playlist because it just goes on and repeat and on and repeat and on and repeat. And it just, it really. So, but they can be fun if the presentations are good and, you know, you're familiar with the artist and so forth. So, but, you know, the one thing about that puts these award shows together is the behind the scenes when you get all the producers, the writers, the team, the PAs, and, you know, a lot of people miss what's backstage that goes on that helps put on these shows. And one of the things that we learned when we were backstage working these shows is they actually have a seamstress on hand. So that way, if somebody tears their dress, then they can quickly fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no wardrobe malfunctions, I guess. If you want to say it that way, I don't know. And then again, a lot of marketing things and a lot of product and placement that you just don't know that's there. Kind of like the, here we're going to give it away. The, yes, we are. We're going to give it away. Like the Ellen selfie that she did for the Oscars. That was product placement. That was set up, you guys. Did you know that? We didn't until we were told that. And we're telling you now, it was set up for a reason. Because the shows now have to pay for their spots on the networks where they used to not have to do that.
Yeah.
And so in order to put on these prestigious award shows, it costs a lot of money, just like the Super Bowl. You're looking at ads that are almost as expensive as the Super Bowl because these are big events. So it costs a lot of money to do all these different things. And so there has to be a team of people that can work with all these different companies to put it in a way, put it, display it in a way that you as a viewer doesn't know that you are being shown an ad. And that's what's interesting about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's good marketing.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking to somebody.
Yes.
That is in charge of that because she is in charge of business development for the Emmys. And we are so excited to have her on the show because she's got this wonderful personality and she's going to talk to us all about marketing and advertising and different things like that. So if you ever wanted to know how easy, how hard, and get all the advice on how you should get products in your show or doing sponsorships for different types of things and all of the headaches that we as producers, as well as other producers, have to go through,
right,
to put on these shows. Because, you know, this is our living.
Yes.
This is what we do for a living. And, you know, so we have to get paid to pay our bills. And so we have to raise money for our show. And so that's why we have advertisers. And that's why, you know, we have backing from the networks, of course. But sometimes those backings don't pay the full bills because you have to pay teams, you have to pay out agents, you have to pay out fees. Can't forget Uncle Sam's taxes because, you know, God forbid we got to pay for more politicians to get greedy. So again, there's a lot of work that goes into even a show like this. So for us, note that you're getting quality content because we take the time. We treat this show as a production.
Yes.
We treat every show as a production that we produce. Every story that we tell on any show that we do is a production. There's a lot of time that goes into it, a lot of effort that goes into it. And, you know, there's a lot of materials to look at. So we have to get a lot of support from a lot of different people to accomplish those. And sometimes Chris and Will are doing a lot of this stuff on our own.
Right.
So it's very time consuming. So it's nice to have people like Tabitha Starcher, who is our special guest, in the world because they help bring a lot of that magic to you a little bit easier. So we're going to give Tabitha Starcher a quick call and then have her tell us all about the magic of the Emmys and what she does. So don't go nowhere. Tabitha Starcher is coming up.
Will, introducing you to an amazing getaway. For the first time, we both treated ourselves to a day of pampering.
If you're in the Tampa, Florida area, then please make sure to treat your own self to a day like we did at Spa Nirvana, a sanctuary for face and body, a spa day for men and women.
The staff is so friendly, the place is clean, looks amazing, and the best of it, they're following the safety guidelines during these current times.
Truly a professional environment. The cost isn't bad neither. Make your appointment today.
Imagine a day where you can get the most incredible stress-free relaxing massage, body work, facial rejuvenation, and microdermabrasion. They have so much more to offer, including their signature facial services, including an aluminum oxide-free crystal microdermabrasion facial, the lifting facial of mature skin, and the most comprehensive, purifying, deep cleansing facial. Plus, you just can't beat the environment of soothing music, healthy snacks and drinks, and you just have to see it for yourself.
Guys, it's totally worth it. This is a weekly thing for us now, and I can't wait to go again. This is a Chris Will highly recommendation.
SpaNirvana.com is the website. You can go to ChrisandWill.com for the link as well. Spa Nirvana, 811 Court Street, Clearwater, Florida, 33756. Call 727-447-7546 to make your appointment today. Services are by appointment only, and they are filling up fast. So treat yourself, your inner self, to a vacation day at Spa Nirvana.
In order to be me, I have to be comfortable with my life.
At Climate First Bank, we believe that being you is important, so we made our banking even more comfortable so you can be the person you need to be. We've introduced Pride Banking, a Climate First Bank checking account dedicated to supporting the LGBTQ+ community. With us, you can be comfortable and be all of you. You can even use your preferred name on your debit card. Free Pride Banking checks are included with your account, with no minimum account balance required and no monthly account fees. When you set up a qualifying direct deposit account, Climate First Bank donates $50 to a nonprofit partner within the LGBTQ+ community. At Climate First Bank, we believe in you. Be even more comfortable with your life and enjoy our stress-free Pride Banking. Go enjoy your life with a Climate First Bank Pride Banking account. Learn more and open your account today at apply.climatefirstbank.com/pride.
Hello, Chamas. My name is Traveler Chomcod. I am the official host of the all-new Chris and Will show called What About Our Life Adventures, exclusively on the Chris Will Network and Spotify. Make sure you go and log on to your Spotify free account via your smart TVs or your phones and watch their all-new adventure series traveling all across the globe. So join me, Sammy, their manager Tabby, and Chris and Will, plus so many other guests, for the all-new What About Our Life Adventures, exclusively on the Chris Will Network at chrisandwill.com and Spotify via your free account. You gotta watch it, because it's a vlogcast, not an audio show. So it's video and audio. So we'll see you on Spotify for What About Our Life Adventures, chrisandwill.com.
Let's change the way we do the world. Let's nurture habits that lead to better habitats and a more sustainable future for all. Get started at ottomannatureinstitute.org/action.
The party is on. Over 72 hours of nonstop Pride events, May 30th through June 3rd, 2024. Join Chris and Will, the Prince Charmings of podcasting, for nonstop media broadcasting in Orlando, Florida at One Magical Weekend, Typhoon Lagoon, House of Blues, after hour parties, pool parties, and so much more. Go to onemagicalweekend.com to start planning your trip to Pride in Orlando in June of 2024. Don't miss Chris and Will and your chance to hang out with the Prince Charmings of podcasting. Go to onemagicalweekend.com, chrisandwill.com for more information. Book your travel to all the Florida locations with our official brand sponsor, MEI Travel, at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Tell MEI Travel that Chris and Will, the Prince Charmings of podcasting, sent you for some special grand discounts. It's One Magical Weekend for 2024.
Please welcome our special guest, Emmy winner, Tabitha Starcher.
Hi, Tabitha. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Yes.
You have such an important role and an interesting one at that. And it's an interesting position, but it's also a difficult position, and we can so much relate to that. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. In addition to that, we share something much in common, because our manager, who we love dearly, is also named Tabitha.
That's
so
right.
You guys share something in common.
Oh, I rarely hear that. So that's so cool. I am sure she gets the same thing I've gotten my whole life, which was, can you twinkle your nose? Can you wiggle your nose? So
I will have to ask her that.
Yeah.
but yes, so let's talk a little bit about what you do and how you kind of got started in this position.
Okay, yeah, well, how I got started in this position, that's a great question. I I've always had a passion, believe it or not, for what I do. I love the art of building relationships, and that really is business development. So I've always had a passion for that. I love people. How I got into this was I was working on some nonprofit pieces here in Indianapolis, where I still live, and started working with PBS on some of that. And I was fortunate enough to win a regional Emmy with the PBS station. Yes, yes. And from there, just got connected to sitting on a regional board for the Emmys, and it kind of took off from there. I think that if you're someone who has a passion for what you do, and this is what I tell the kids that come through our foundation a lot, I think the most important thing you can do is to pick a career in a field that you love, doing something that you're passionate about. Because if you do that, the skills will come. You can learn them, and you can build off of that. If you don't love what you do and you're constantly just waiting to get off work and you're putting your 40 hours in, even if it's just a full-time job, it becomes your life very quickly. And it builds into something that's, you know, not necessarily productive for you or anyone else. So I am extremely blessed to be able to do something that I love.
And, you know, we can relate to that.
Yeah.
We love what we do.
Yes.
And we just started I always say that for us, everything in our life has always been by coincidence.
Yep.
Anytime we try to plan something, it never works. So when we're just showing up in the right place and just having a conversation with a person, then things just kind of happen at that moment. So we recently just got into working with travel boards all across the country, and they're sending us on these vacations, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting paid to go on vacation. Where have I been all these years? You know, and it's so much fun, and you can relate because you meet so many different types of people, and you learn so much about their culture, and you learn so much about who they are. And it's, you know, it's breathtaking. So I have to admire that, because, you know, you're so totally correct. You have to like what you do in order to be successful, in order to climb the ladder. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yes. And that sounds like a fun gig, getting paid to go on vacation. Sign me up.
Oh, no kidding. Yes. We have been so pleased and so blessed with it.
Yeah.
In fact, we're, you know, we have calendar dates all through the year, and we're booked up all the way up until the mid of 2025. So it's like we're going to all these different locations, you know, marking off bucket lists, and it's just, you know, learning a lot about our country that you can't really learn from a textbook or from certain things.
You just have to go in front of you.
Yeah, it's right in front of you, and it's so much fun. It's exciting. Yeah.
Experiencing it. It's a whole nother way to learn, and it's honestly the best way for me. I learn so much better when I can feel, touch, see, experience.
Yes.
And I think there are a lot of people out there like that, but I would agree with you that travel is one of the greatest learning experiences of our lives, for sure.
Yes, yes. And we're the same way. We're those, I don't know if you would call them a visual learners or, you know, however you would call it. But yeah, it's like, you know, I can look at it in a book or at a picture, and I just don't get the same vibe as I do when I'm standing right in front of it. You know, and it's just like the picture of art. You can get so many different emotions off of just one thing. And, you know, and like, for example, when we Knoxville invited us to go visit them, and, you know, I've always passed through Knoxville, but I've never actually went to Knoxville. And everywhere we went, it was, everybody was so kind. Everybody was so nice. They were respectful. And I'm just sitting there going, said, it's like, gosh, if the whole world could be like this, things would be so much better.
Yeah.
But,
and
that was a common thing, because a lot of our fans had said the same thing. They're like, you know, I've never stopped at Knoxville. I've always been curious at Knoxville. And then the moment we showcased what we did, because we always give them a point of view experience, so they get to see it as well as we get to talk about it. And, you know,
lo and behold, they're going and people are making stops in Knoxville. And they go, oh, did you get to go do that? And it's like, no, we didn't have time. They're like, oh, next time you have to go back.
Yeah.
And it's so heartwarming to see all these people that we've never met sit there and express their experiences with us just by us showing up there. So it's just, you know, I guess you could say we love people too. We're people, people, you know? yeah. So it's a very interesting thing. And reading through some of the notes that I had about your career, the reason I say it's so difficult is because, you know, anytime you're trying, you know, you do fundraising, you do product endorsements, sponsorships, and different things for the Academy. That's a hard position to do and a stressful one at that, because it's, you know, at least for us, because that's part of our job, is we have to find the funding to support our gigs. But, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do. So I guess, you know, how do you make that become a really great part of your life? I mean, it's difficult, but, you know, how do you make the best of it?
So, I think, gosh, my perspective of it, I've done this now for, gosh, a couple of decades, and I'm telling my age here, but I've done this a long time. And I think honestly, the perspective of most people around business development is, let's be totally honest, no one loves getting a sales call. And I mean, I will be the first one to tell you, I don't like getting them, you know?
Yeah.
It just kind of puts you on the spot, and it's sort of, you know, it's people often that it's not even something you're interested in, and it's all those things, right? And so I said earlier in the conversation, and I truly mean it, that over the years of doing this, what I have learned is people do not buy products.
Right.
People don't buy products. People buy people. And so business development really is the art of relationships.
Yes.
And I think what you have to do in this field is you have to be passionate about other human beings and see their point of view.
Yep.
And understand that I don't like getting those calls. I don't like getting pressured. I don't like being put on the spot. However, we all have needs and wants in our lives, and those definitely include being able to make an income, and hopefully it's something that we love to do.
Right.
And so I think if you're able to be passionate about what you do and you're able to show them how that is going to help them and get them where they need to be, that is where your job becomes not going to work at an 8-to-5. It becomes a position where these are people that are now part of your weekends. You go to their events, they come to your events. You have honest upfront conversations about, this is probably not the best fit for you, but this may be, you know, or this might not be the best thing for us to do together, but let's touch base again and circle back when I have something different. Or as your products change and what you're trying to promote changes, let's keep in touch. And if you have a great relationship with those people and you've always done them well in the past, then you will continue to do business with them and it will come back around. I mean, I always use the example that if I've never been a car salesman, but if you are a car salesman, you have to realize that there's a car shop, car dealer on every street corner, right? And anybody can get a Honda Civic or whatever car that you've chose from anyone. So when you walk in, you already know the car you're getting, right? You've usually done the research. It has everything to do with that person that approaches you. Everything. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you don't like the person that approaches you, you get right back in whatever car you're driving. You drive down a few blocks and you buy it from someone else. People don't buy products, they buy people, right? And so you have to understand that what I do for a living, and I try to always remind myself of this, is you're dealing with people's money. And when you deal with people's money, you're dealing with ultimately how they take care of themselves and their families and their loved ones and all of these types of things. And so make sure that you keep that in mind. And it's not just about the hustle, right? yes, I understand that you need this in order to do what it is you want to do, to put your next show on or to do the Emmys or to do whatever, right?
Right.
But that will come to you. It will come to you. That person that doesn't buy from you, if they have a great experience from you, you may hang the phone up and the next day you get a call from someone that referred this next big buyer to you, and they're not even someone that bought from you. They were someone that enjoyed the experience, the conversation they had with you. And that is really the art of doing what I do, and not only being successful, but being happy at it. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have to agree. Yep. Uh-huh. That's why I was saying our life has been by coincidence, because even with the travel show, we started out with one location and they liked what we did. And so they called another location. So another location called that one, another location called that one. And, you know, here we are, we're going to so many different states. So, so I agree with that. I love that, that, you know, you, it seemed, I'm almost want to say I'm looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because I always use the car salesman example. When people ask us about, you know, the same question that I was asking you, when we get our partners and we do all this, and they're like, you know, well, how do you do it? And I told them, I said, well, the one thing that iHeart told us when we first met them is they go, when people meet you guys, they fall in love with your personality. So they go, so if you can give them your personality and be yourself, then they're going to fall in love with you, and you're going to find that they're going to want to do stuff with you. So, mm-hmm. So I always sit there and say the same example, you know, it's just like going to buy a car. If the salesman annoys you, then you're not going to buy that car. You're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you can get that anywhere, 100%. You can get that car somewhere else. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I love that. I love that. Now, the one thing that is kind of curious is, you know, since COVID, have you found that doing what you do has become a little bit harder over the course of the years, or has it become a little bit easier?
So I would say, you know, during COVID, it required a shift. You definitely had to shift gears and do business differently. I mean, at the end of the day, what I do for the Academy is you're selling an experience, you're selling an event, you're sharing it with them, this thing that you've worked on for, you know, almost a year, and it comes to fruition right in front of the rest of the world, right? And right. The idea is for them to experience that. And so during COVID, when we no longer had live and in-person shows, we had to shift gears a little bit, but I think in all the years that I've been doing this, you realize one thing. All of us are so afraid of change, and it can be uncomfortable, but I think when it comes to what I do for a living, I have realized that sometimes change is one of the best things you can do, because it not only forces you to think outside the box, but it can create more opportunities. So during COVID, really, what that did for me, and I think for the organization, is it forced us to re-examine how we do things and sort of write the playbook. And it's wound up being a very good thing. We've seen growth, and that's really important, I think. You know, back to our previous conversation, I think the key with getting through in business development and building relationships, and I sometimes compare this to a family or dating relationship in the way that, yes, it's important to under promise and over deliver, but really that saying is really trying to get across to you that it's important to be honest and upfront with people. Never promise someone that, hey, you know what, if you do this, everything's going to go perfect and you're going to get, it's going to just be fabulous, right? Be honest with them. Right. I can't promise you that. What I can promise you, I will always pick my phone up, always, even when things aren't good and I know something went wrong, I will pick my phone up. If you want an in-person meeting, I will have an in-person meeting. I will work through this with you every step of the way until you are happy. And that is really what COVID brought to the table. I think it strengthened a lot of relationships with the Academy. I was relatively new here. I'd started right before the pandemic. And, you know, when people realize gosh, I have an agreement that says we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and now this year there's not a live show. You know, what are they going to do about that? Right? Well, what we're going to do about that is whatever you think we need to do, let's sit down and have a conversation. Let's make sure that you're happy. And I think that is the most important thing I can share with a business person.
Wow.
It's you not just keeping the client, growing those clients and growing that business often has nothing to do with how much budget they've set aside for you. It has to do with how much they trust you, because that will determine how much they give you. And trust occurs in difficult times, not when everything goes great and the red carpet's packed and the show went off without a hitch and the ratings were outstanding. And it happens during the pandemic when your clients are in an agreement that you can't deliver on.
Wow.
This is your opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your opportunity to really solidify that relationship, to really be what all of us want in a business person. Be honest, be upfront, come to the table. If they want out, let them out. If they want to restructure, let's restructure. Bring ideas, try to work through those things. And I will say, all of our clients were absolutely amazing and stood by this academy. And when I said that we experienced growth, that is why. We have some of the best clients in this industry. Every one of them was so patient, so kind. They all picked their phone up. We had these conversations. We worked through it. And that is how I think that you run a successful business, no matter what role you're in.
Well, I agree.
I am so delighted to hear this, because you touched upon numerous factors in your reply. I'm just very delighted to hear that it's all about not just the outcome, but how you get to it. And what I gather from it is that you have to not only trust, but you have to be willing. And the fact that you do all of those things, that's more than enough. And I just thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. And I think that that's really what all of us want. It's what I want when I'm the buying customer. It's what I want. You know, if I bought a new car from you, I'm not expecting you to tell me that car is never going to break down. I'm expecting you to tell me that when it does, I bring it in, we're not going to have a debate if it's still under warranty about whether or not you're going to fix it or how long that's going to take or whether I need to go find me another car to drive during that time, or if I can just wait here in the lobby where there is, you know, nothing to drink. Or, you know, what you want to hear when you pull in is that I'm really sorry this happened. Let me take care of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think people get hung up on, so many customers, they just want everything to work out and they want this and they want that. They want you to be kind, be honest, and to be generous. When you can over-deliver.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you can't over-deliver, be open about it.
Yep. I agree. Like I said, it's like looking in the mirror.
Yep.
It really is. Because that's, I mean, we've been very fortunate and we really have. And, you know, you have your struggles, but we never let those struggles come through. And, you know, and again, that's the one thing that we always said is we like to, when we do business with people, we always like to say, you know, be honest with me.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, then just tell me that you can't do it. We'll figure it out and go from there. And I think those are the best growing relationships, even with our partners, that they love about us is that we're very transparent and, you know, we're very open to take the time to say, okay, do you want to change your ad? Do you want to, you know, what do you want us to do? Do you want it, you know, when we go make these appearances? And again, we're about to ask a question about endorsements and stuff like that or product placement. And I'm like, do you want us to wear a t-shirt that has your name on it that we can showcase? What would you like for us to do? You know, we're open to those ideas And, you know, you just need to let me know what it is that you would like for us to do. And the ideas just start flowing in there. And they're like, are you sure this is okay? And I'm like, of course it's okay. So we're offering it.
Yeah.
You know, we enjoy doing this type of stuff. So so I guess it goes into that question, you know, how important is celebrity endorsements and, you know, product placements?
That's a fantastic question. I think there are various opinions out there on it, and I think all of them have a lot of validity. So let me first say that. You know, it's kind of one of those things when you ask this question, it really, really does depend on the situation and the product.
Uh-huh.
I think where we've moved as a society now is you have big A-listers who have obviously massive followings, and getting product placement done with one of them, we'll use the word tedious. It can be tedious because there's the expense side and there is the side of, are they currently on a network that has a conflict with that product? Are they already representing a product? Are they all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then where you have in society now that's coming into play, you have influencers. And right. Influencers on social media can often have well into the millions of followers that when it comes surely to demographic, right? And I don't know how much your listeners know about demographic, but when you're selling a product, you're looking at how many people will it hit that is within the demographic or target audience that typically buys my product, right?
Right.
And so when you're looking at demographic of some of the influencers that you see online that you can get for a fraction of the cost, these are absolutely factors that come in. So how you choose a someone to, you know, to front your product, I guess, has a lot to do with, are you looking for just the amount of people they can hit? Or are you looking for reputation? Are you looking for getting that stuff narrowed down? Usually is about half of the battle. And then you start looking into how big of an impact is it going to have, which I think is the second half of that question. Do I think that it does have an impact? Yes, I do think it does have an impact. Do I think it has the same impact or carries the kind of weight that it did 10 years ago? I'm not entirely sold on that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I will tell you why. I think specifically with what I do now with the Emmys, gives our clients and our sponsors an opportunity to do something, you know, quite unique, and that is to come to the event, be a part of the event, and be the face and the voice of your own product, right?
Right.
And that is something that I think is growing across the globe, not just in this country, right? Because of social media. More and more people go on social media and they see the person that invented the product or promotes the product, front facing that product, right? And so I think there are times that if the product needs a trust factor, as we say, we need a trusted name. I think there is some benefit in having someone who is a household name front face that product. Uh-huh. But I think there are a lot of ways to do these types of endorsements, and a lot of ways also includes the person who created it. Yes.
Very nice.
I like that because not only is it very creative, but it gives it that, again, we're talking about people. You're putting out that persona and the experience. So what better way than from where it was created from?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, it's also a way for the person who created it and who has, you know, put blood, sweat, and tears behind it to make sure that the information about the product is being told in the way that they want it told, but also in the most accurate fashion, right?
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, just to switch for a little bit here. Now, yourself, you're an Emmy winner. What is the effect, if any, on careers after being nominated or winning?
Wow. Well, from a personal standpoint, you know, I can't speak, you know, I don't have statistics behind any of that. Let me say that. But from a personal standpoint, it was huge for me. But I think when I won my first Emmy, there was a lot professionally and personally that was very impactful for me. I grew up as a dyslexic, and you know, to sit in a room with some of the best storytellers and writers and producers and creators, right? And you're sitting there very at the time, and I'm not easily intimidated, but you're just you're feeling a little bit anxious, right? And looking uh-huh. around this room and just that level of talent, specifically in something that hasn't always been your strength, right, up until that point. Uh-huh. And then to hear your name called, I think the level of confidence that it instilled in me, both in that moment and that has stayed with me, is immeasurable.
Oh, wow. And you must have felt like, yeah. internally, you must have felt a sense of pride, but it also overjoyment, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think for me in that moment, it really made me feel I could do anything. Yeah, if I can do this, I can do anything. I mean, when you grow up hearing all the things, you know, that you're told in terms of, you know, I can remember being told that, you know, since reading and grammar aren't my strengths, I should really pursue, you know, blue collar work or, you know, these types of things, and nothing wrong with that at all. But it's very limiting to hear that as a child and also be a child who, has struggled with that and had, you know, everything from issues with social in school and that type of thing, all the way to being, having trouble with getting in certain classes and on and on and on, to then be an Emmy Award winner. It was very significant to me, very, very significant on a personal level. I think on a professional level, you know, it goes without saying, after winning an Emmy, and being nominated for my second Emmy on a regional level, I met with our chairman and CEO, and I am now head of business development for the National Academy. So I definitely would be someone that would say that it absolutely changes your professional outlook, because, you know, that is how I got my foot in the door. It's how I met the Emmys and got to tell them a little bit about what I do and sat on their board and worked my way up from there. So, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. We're keeping our fingers crossed. One day we'll be in the same boat where we'll accept our Emmy too. Yay.
I would absolutely love that. I would absolutely.
Yes.
Love that.
Oh, we would too. That's on our bucket list just as well, but we work hard. So
yes,
we'll get there. We're positively thinking we will get there one day. But, and you know, one final thing, I know that, our fans are always going to itching to ask, but, what advice would you give to individuals that, are looking for trying to get, sponsors or trying to get, or trying to be a part of product placement or endorsements for whatever it is that they're trying to do? What advice would you give them on how to get through the door and how to approach it?
If they have a product and they want to get that product out, you know, I think the world is your oyster, for sure. And I would encourage them, one, reach out to me, and two, you know, go into it with very clear understanding of what it is you're looking for. In other words, what do you think your target audience is? How much money do you have to invest? All of those things before you start taking the calls. For people who are looking to create a book of business for themselves and draw sponsors in, I would tell you, as gently as I can say this, do not let rejection get to you. This role of being in product placement or business development, it does come with, you'll get it. What do they say? You kiss a lot of frogs before you find a prince.
Yes.
And that is how that works. So be patient. Don't give up. You will get there. Continue to work on your presentation. Make sure that you're very articulate, very clear about what you can bring to the table. And then most importantly, remember what I said now 4 or 5 times, which is people don't buy products, they buy people.
Yes.
So when you meet with people, stop with the sales pitch. Just drop the sales pitch. Don't do any of that. Just tell them legitimately what you're trying to do. And most importantly, what they will get in return. And when you tell them what they're going to get in return, be honest about it, right? Tell them the things that you know you can do. Tell them the things that you're going to be able to deliver for, and then show them who you are and make sure they know that when things go wrong, you're going to be there. You can't promise people things aren't going to go wrong. There's always the chance of the pandemic. There's always a chance of you know, an economic crisis. There's always these things, and it's going to change agreements that are even signed and inked, right? And let them know that you're easy to work with, that you're going to be there through the good and the bad, right? They're relationships, and that is what this is, right? It's that way with family. It's that way with partners. It's that way in business. And the most successful way to have a relationship is the person that remains the most flexible, that person remains in control, right?
Wow.
So be flexible.
Very nice.
Be easy to work.
Yes, yeah. I love that. Great advice. Well, is there places where our fans can find you, get in touch with you, anything that you're promoting of that nature?
Yeah, well, we have the Sports Emmys coming right up here. That's coming up in May, and then the Daytime Emmys on CBS. In June. So you can follow more about the Emmys at our website. So, and you can watch our shows. If you don't catch them on network, you can watch them at watch.theemmys.tv. If you want to learn more about what I do and what we're going to be gifting the celebrities at each of our shows, you can follow me on Instagram at Tabitha Starcher. My name is spelled with 3 A's, no I. I think if you follow the Academy, you will find that we are launching a lot of new and interesting things in 2024. We hope to see you at some of our shows. If we don't see you at the show, we hope you watch.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Tabitha, thank you so much for being on our show. This has been such a great conversation, an educational one at that, mm-hmm. an interesting one at that. And you know, I'm really happy that we got to have this conversation, because this is really a lot of talk of the town in this business, and yes. for a lot of startups, for a lot of dreamers, for a lot of ones that really want to climb the ladder and take the drive. So I think that you gave them a lot of insight on how to be themselves, and no matter what type of business or part of life that they want to be in. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And thank you so much for having me.
It's been a complete amazing experience and such a joy.
Yes, it has. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, Tabitha, good luck with the Emmys. We will definitely be watching it one day. Hopefully we will be on that red carpet, if not accepting an Emmy, if not asking questions, being part of the press crew, yeah. whichever the lines align us to be in, we will be there, and we will actually be in around. We will be traveling so many different places. So when I get someplace that you're at, I hope to be able to sit down with you and have a nice little drink and another great conversation. So thank you.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm really looking forward to that. So I would love to see you on our carpet, and I would love to have a cocktail. So
please,
we're going to get it on the calendar.
What an amazing conversation. A lot that you learned.
Uh-huh.
And the more you keep knowing and learning and figuring out, and you never know, you guys, we might be on those red carpets one day ourselves receiving awards, if not being media on the red carpet, asking the questions like we do here. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Everything happens for a reason and coincidence. It's always been a coincidence by us. You never know. You never know. There's a reason why we were introduced to Tabitha. Hint, hint, hint. Put that vibe into the world.
Yes.
Yes, of course. We do want to thank Tabitha for coming on our show and, of course, giving us another great episode of What About Our Life with Chris and Will, especially for our 25th anniversary celebration that we're doing all year long. And, of course, we want to thank you guys for joining us every single episode and staying with us for as long as you have. How much we appreciate you. We really do appreciate you. And we want to remind you to go to our website again at chrisandwill.com to check out the Chris Will Network to see all of our great programming. You can also check out on our official website some of our wonderful partners that you can click on their links and see if their products and services, plus, of course, our amazing foundation. And you can check out some of the appearances that we will be going to in the traveling locations throughout the country throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So there is so much to figure out and find out and learn by going to our website. And we, of course, we appreciate your feedback and your emails that you send us all the time. We appreciate you. Go to our official website at chrisandwill.com. You can also check us out on our social media outlets for additional social life and snippets and things going on. So you can check us out on social media at
Chris.and.will on Instagram, at The Real Prince Charmings on Facebook, and at Prince Charmings of Podcast on TikTok.
Absolutely. And if you care to see our YouTube, it's The Prince Charmings of Podcasting on YouTube as well. But of course, you can get all of that programming on the Chris Will Network on chrisandwill.com. Remember to love yourself and the world will love you in return. We love you guys. Big hugs, kisses, and we hope you enjoy every day of your life. And, you know, living life your way is the best award you can get. So until next time, unfortunately, the Prince Charmings of Podcasting has to say goodbye, but not forever, and just until the next episode. So take care of yourselves. We love you. Bye.
Bye.